Joining this cause is not going to be detrimental to your reputation, but in fact, not speaking up on what's happening is what's most likely going to be detrimental on your reputation in the future and how our children and grandchildren see these celebrities. So yes, in short.
We have 30 seconds. Ms. Rachel, your final thoughts. You can share them with children around the world, with their parents, with humanity.
Well, quickly, I want to say that I'm so relieved that people are starting to talk about the starvation of this population. And I just want to honor the 18,000 children that have been killed, because it should have been so much. It should have been like these children mattered, and they're not just numbers. They're 18,000 precious children, and they were everyone's universe, as a Jewish text says. So they were somebody's whole world and somebody's whole universe. And I just want to say to the kids, hi, I'm so proud of you. You have great ideas and a brilliant mind and a wonderful heart, and you're so kind, and you're welcome, and I adore you.
Rachel Griffin Accurso, known as Ms. Rachel to millions of children around the world who have watched her videos and listened to her songs. The Washington Post calls her the Mr. Rogers of her era. She has 16 million subscribers, more than 10 billion views, one of the most popular people on Netflix, and Tarek Hailat of the Palestine Children's Relief Fund. Thank you so much.
You are tuned into KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
On the next episode of Neuroemergent, I talk with Leah Blankenship, founder of the Neurodiversity Alliance at the University of Oregon.
Running a group entirely with neurodivergent people, it comes with its own challenges. So much of what defines academic success for these students is just being a successful adult.
Join us at 11 a.m. Wednesday, August 27th, for a conversation about neurodiversity from a Gen Z perspective.
Support for KBOO comes from our members and from Nutrition Inside, presenting the Nutrition Inside Benefit Show, Saturday, August 16th, from 4:30 to 8 p.m. at Ethos Music Center. The event will feature local music and refreshments and supports food justice for incarcerated individuals. More info at nutritioninside.org.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 8:01 a.m. Next up is Wednesday Talk Radio with Jacqueline Keeler.
Here's a little song about a man gone wrong. Building up his evil empire, and after months of ifs and buts, the papers got the guts to call the man of the year a liar. To call the man of the year a liar. Hustling and bustling across the big green lawn, stomping through the famous rose garden. But every little rose turned up its pretty nose, saying you owe the earth a pardon. Saying you owe the earth a pardon. Fumbling and bumbling through the halls at night, turning every light switch on. You're searching for the room where you used to be the groom, but she's packed all her jewelry and gone. Yeah, she's scooped up all her jewelry. Left your corn and lima rip them all out. They'll only give me gout. And that's unbecoming for a future dictator. That's unbecoming for a future dictator. And you're gonna build a wall, the biggest wall, the beautifulest wall around our borders. But here's what I think, you better talk to a shrink, 'cause you got serious psychological disorders. You got dangerous pathological disorders.
Good morning. This is Wednesday Talk Radio here on KBOO, and today's topic, and we really urge you all to call in and give your point of view, we'd really like to hear what you have to say, is about the recent mugging of former Doge staffer Big Balls, no, that's his name for himself, also known as his recent mugging, which has led Trump to basically declare a de facto military occupation of Washington, D.C. And so please call in. The number here is 503-231-8187. And we're talking about following the assault on Edward Korestein, not sure if I'm pronouncing the name correctly, a former Department of Government Efficiency, or as they call it, DOGE, staffer, also known as Big Balls, in Washington, D.C., President Trump has taken several actions to basically take over the city's security and legal framework. So specifically, President Trump has federalized the D.C. police force and mobilized National Guard troops to the city. He has publicly criticized the D.C. criminal justice system, particularly concerning juvenile offenders, and has also called for changes to D.C.'s laws, specifically advocating for juveniles as young as 14 to be prosecuted as adults for violent crimes. And he has also ordered the restoration of the statue of Confederate General Albert Pike that was toppled during the Black Lives Matter protests in 2020. And I think the National Park Service announced that on their social media that they were restoring that statue. And so I'd like to hear your opinions on this and what it means for other Democrat cities like Portland. And you can call in to KBOO at 503-231-8187. And I'd love to hear your opinion. And this is your host, Jacqueline Keeler. And this is Wednesday Talk Radio, and that means we get to hear what KBOO listeners have to say. And how do you feel about Trump's takeover of Washington, D.C., also his sending the National Guard to Los Angeles, and his threats to do this to other major cities like New York and Chicago? And he's often had very negative ideas about Portland, Oregon as well. How do you feel as a Portlander? What might happen here, and then how do you feel about what he's doing in other cities as well? And let me see here. So anyway, he's been using the allegations that Washington, D.C. has a lot of crime, yet crime has gone down in D.C., I think by 34% since 2023. And obviously, he used to tout those figures, he and his FBI director, Kash Patel. But now, of course, they're singing a different tune because they want to, I suppose a lot of people are saying that they want to distract from the Epstein files. And also, they want to basically continue to assert a military occupation of blue America. And certainly, many folks have pointed out that the highest crime rates are actually in red states, even in red rural areas, excluding the cities, the urban areas of those states. And I doubt we're going to see a similar excuse used to take over their city police departments. And of course, the reason why he can take over the police department, I should make this clear, in Washington, D.C. is because the state doesn't have sovereignty. And so it's definitely something that they've been trying to get passed to get Washington, D.C. recognized as a 51st state. And so they... So that is a question that is also being asked about, from Mayor Muriel Bowser of Washington, D.C. She describes this as an authoritarian push. She has denied that crime is out of control in the city, pointing to official figures showing a drop in violent crime. Although the D.C. Police Union actually supports the deployment as a critical stopgap measure. And and as I mentioned before, the president has the authority to deploy the National Guard to D.C. without the consent of the local government. And this situation marks the largest erosion of home rule in D.C. since the control board in the 1990s, according to local outlets in D.C. And the federal control of the MPD is currently authorized for 30 days, after which it'll be reevaluated. So he has deployed about 800 National Guards to assist the law enforcement in D.C. The Pentagon stated that the National Guard will be, quote, flowing into the streets of Washington in the coming week. And some of the troops, along with armored vehicles, began arriving in the city on August 12th. That's yesterday, 2025. And I did hear some reports that the 800 figure is mostly for show. There are many more law enforcement officers in D.C. than that. This would be a tiny fraction. And because of deployment rotation shifts, only 200 will actually be on the street at any time. So it's mostly for the news to take photos of and to give the impression to his audience, to his voters, to Trump voters, that he is really doing something. And a call in. This is KBU Talk Radio, Wednesday Talk Radio, and we're discussing Trump's military takeover of Washington, D.C., and what this portends for other blue cities, other Democratic cities in the United States. He has already said that he plans to do this. He's already done this in Los Angeles in June, and he is planning on doing this in New York City and Chicago as well. And of course, Portland has often been on his hit list as a sanctuary city, as a city that stood up for Black Lives during the 2020 Black Lives Movement. And so it's Black Lives Matter movement, I should say. And what do you think? How do you feel about this? And how do you think this will impact Portland itself? And the ironic thing, of course, is that Trump is himself a convicted felon. He was convicted, I think, to about 34 felonies. And Grok on Elon Musk's X platform basically said that he was the most convicted felon in the D.C. area, and which actually led to it being, it was not allowed to post for a while there until they had corrected it. I'm not really sure. But so he was on May 30th, 2024, a Manhattan jury found him guilty on 34 felony counts of falsifying business records in the first degree related to a hush payment to an adult film star prior to the 2016 presidential election. And on January 10th, 2025, this is just shortly before his inauguration, Judge Juan Merchan sentenced Trump to an unconditional discharge, meaning he received a criminal record but no prison time, probation, or fines. And of course, Trump maintains his innocence, and he's appealing the conviction, and he's always characterized this as a witch hunt to his followers. His legal team has filed a notice of appeal with New York State Intermediate Appellate Court. Additionally, Trump's lawyers are attempting to move the appeal to federal court, arguing that a recent Supreme Court ruling on presidential immunity applies to his case. A federal appeals court in Manhattan heard oral arguments in June 2025 regarding Trump's request to move the case to federal court. And this conviction marks the first time a former U.S. president has been found guilty of a felony. And so this is the person going on and on about criminality and after the attempted carjacking and mugging of Edward Korstein, the former Doge staffer. We have a caller. Hi, caller. You are on KBOO. Hi, Santiago. Hey. Hello. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I think what a lot of people are missing is there's like actual crime statistics, which clearly show that crime is at a 30-year low. But I think it's because of how capitalism works, like visible signs of poverty are considered signs of crime by people who fundamentally believe in the promises of capitalism. They see people on the streets. They think that's crime, mm-hmm. you know? And I mean, in capitalism criminalizes the houseless, the homeless, you know? And then you see like graffiti on walls. That's not, depending on where the graffiti is, could be a crime, could not be. But to a lot of, like conservatives and liberals, let's be honest, they mm-hmm. see it as crime. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of visible signs of like social collapse, but they're not correlating the social collapse with a ruling class that is hell-bent on extracting every last dollar, even if it means killing every one of us. Mm. They look at these visible signs of social collapse as crime. And because there's no real alternative explanation, either in the media or from people or from the elected leaders that we have, these fascists can come in and essentially create a narrative, which is what they're doing, and which is something that since the Democrats are supposed to be, theoretically, they're supposed to be opposed to the fascists. That's why you see them, if they're not silent, then they are definitely, their silence is complicity, but even in the way that they speak on it, because they fail to call out the actual corporate, culprit, which is the corporate donors that essentially fund both parties. Mm. Trump can't do this without institutional support. Mm. I mean, and also like a certain amount of support among his base. And I don't know if this necessarily is distracting from the Epstein files because essentially how Trump has gained so much clout is through the alternative media sphere. People like Ben Shapiro, people like Tim Pool, a lot of figureheads who do a lot of the alternative media grifting, but he's built his platform on essentially like saving the children. Hmm. And so he has an entire ecosystem that depends on feeding that narrative about, Epstein and about the, stolen children. And so he's going to have a hard time shaking it because he's allowed his base to build on that grip.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's necessarily hiding from the Epstein files. And even so, I think another thing to point out too is that while some of the Democrats might have an issue with how Trump is doing this, they're not necessarily having an issue with what's happening. And it's really because every government has a class character, and each government, depending on how it is built up ideologically, it protects a certain class. So, I mean, the people keep talking about the Constitution. The Constitution was created by capitalists to fundamentally protect the ill-gotten gains of capitalism. And I've been telling people, through education that like you cannot solely depend on institutions and documents that were created by those that oppose your existence. Hmm. Like AOC and Bernie talking about oligarchy is good. People need to be aware of oligarchy, but oligarchy, their definition of oligarchy is just Trump and Musk and Bezos. But it's also the people who fund the parties themselves. It's the people who are essentially funding the controlled opposition.
Yeah, it's systemic,
and we need to get away from. You know, I was talking yesterday with Abe and Tracy about the great man theory, which is essentially that, like, you know, that there's these special people who come through history who have a way who unto themselves are a force for moving history. And you can approach it from, like, you can approach it from the positive end and talk about somebody like Martin Luther King Jr., for example. Mm-hmm. But Martin Luther King wasn't on his own. He was doing it with a group of people who were fundamentally as dedicated to the cause, if not more, than he was. And when you try to pin all the negative stuff on one person, you're essentially approaching the great man theory from the negative and
That's
saying
a good
that
point.
Trump
yeah.
is a special person. But like Trump, the establishment has been calling for a Trump for years. They tried to do it in the 30s when with the social fascism of FDR, because ultimately his games, they destroyed a lot of the manufacturing base, or what little there was for black and brown folks in trade for like more of like a, you know, like a socially liberal white class of people to do essentially the same things. But even that, for the few that it benefited, was too much for the ruling class. They tried to have him assassinated and install their own fascist dictator, Smedley Butler. But he ratted them out. He wrote a book about it called War is a Racket. So this ruling class has been trying to install a fascist leader. I would argue that Ronald Reagan, the institution of neoliberalism has a lot in common with fascism, which is why neoliberal itself is devolving into fascism, because capitalism has no way of protecting itself outside of just like by sheer force and the control of the narrative. So, but I would argue that Ronald Reagan was their first real huge pushback against what social reforms were instituted.
Oh yeah, definitely.
During
yeah.
the 30s and 40s, and then you
deconstruct
can look at, like, George W. Bush. You know what I mean? Like first George W. was like kind of the idiot.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think to get back on the topic, and totally agree with what you're saying. And but getting back to the topic at hand, with what's happening in D.C., I agree that it's definitely not entirely an Epstein thing, because of course he was already. It does say something too that a white guy who was part of this Doge thing, who was a teenager who had really no skills to do this, is like him getting harmed is more important. You know, we have then the whole Black Lives Matter movement than anything else. I mean, I'm sure he's just being used, but it is notable. And then property crime is down. You know, the lowest in burglaries and assaults with a dangerous weapon are down. L.A. and California, and yet there is polling shows that the Gallup poll that more than 3/4 of Americans believe crime is up compared to last year. 3/4 that would then cut across party lines. You know.
Absolutely. Well, and the reason why I was talking in the care about winning, they realize that the conservative, the ruling class, essentially, in some ways, has lost every major battle, for the hearts and minds of the people for 80 years, but they kept pushing. And it's this kind of, like, liberal inaction towards the plight of the working. Like I said, you know, it cuts across party lines. They see social collapse. They see social collapse as crime. They don't see crime as crime necessarily.
either not prosecuted or just being of the same, being something much more damaging caliber. Yeah. We have another caller. Thank you so much. Hi, caller. You are on Wednesday Talk Radio. Hi, Caracas.
Hello. Or even suspected. You with deploying the military in a civil
well, that's a good point. The National Guard trained in to work that disturbances. And actually, I should also state of California, and I think they actually had their first meetings before the court yesterday. And the governor against the Trump administration. June 20th, lies and deep. Handling the situation. Unique situation because they can take. Trump has invoked. The lawsuit, Governor Newsom filed a lawsuit alleging that the deployment violated the Posse Comitatus Act, a federal law that restricts the military authority of the January 6th. You know, during the storming of the Capitol, personnel, including a company, immigration and ICE, it constitutes illegal on for their deployment. Beyond base duty. That ruling. Evidence and arguments on whether the Trump administration's actions violated federal law. The trial is pending. So that is ongoing right now. And of course, as I mentioned earlier, that President Trump continued cities like significant federal and the voter approval could potentially fall under the
monster. I mean, is there any preemptive? I mean, thank you very much.
Go ahead.
That was the
when you but I think, you know, there are, California being very aggressive and saying that he's going to California to counter Texas's attempt to gerrymander five more Republicans. Stuff. So
yeah, I've seen a few lawsuits from the state of Washington. And
yeah,
they're being very aggressive too. So
yeah, that's good. So well, thank you so much for calling in. You're kind of breaking
thank
up
you.
A
you
bit.
Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. So okay, we have another. Hello. Wasn't just on this end or also being broadcast that way.
I can hear you clearly, so we can go with this. I wanted to clarify, Santiago, hey brother, he's been bringing up this Smedley Butler back in the 40s, and but he keeps referring to instead of their fascist Smedley Butler. He wasn't there. I wish you'd just rephrase the question. They put $64,000 in his bank account. He reported it to Congress. He was completely against it, okay? And the Congress did nothing. J.P. Morgan never got questioned, you know, whatever. Nothing happened, just swept under the rug. And I guess all I got is, I kind of hate it when people call things like Stormzilla or Snowzilla, but I think it might apply in this case. Maybe we could exile Trumpzilla onto Ellis Island. I know it's usually supposed to be outside the country, but he needs a lesson.
Yeah, I mean, it's extraordinary. He's, you know, his mother is an immigrant, apparently maybe even arrived illegally over state of...
His wives.
His, you know, even his... I think it's his great-grandpa came over and then was...
Well, everybody's dead.
Yeah, and
did.
Was deported
out
of
Germany. New York didn't?
Yeah, well, I have a
family. Native there.
I am 3/16 European, so I have some...
Okay.
Yeah, but, yeah. But yeah, it's crazy, you know, and I just... it's amazing. And, of course, his wife has that fake... had that Einstein visa, and now he's trying... and she brought her parents over through chain migration. It's like everything that he's benefited from, he's trying to, you know, basically, you know, criminalize or, you know, to destroy the lives of people who are seeking a better life here.
Hey, on the D.C. thing, I spent my high school years and many others there. My heart's still there a little bit. When I heard that guy's name, and I won't repeat it, it's too retarded, but I had never heard his name. Gentleman's too deep. Self-claimed victim. I think that was all set up. I think that entire... Okay. Head, bruise on the shoulder. I mean, what was it? Can we know? Get it? I think it was all planted, and it's perfect for, you know... It's perfect. And I would only suggest that we could stop using red states and blue states. You know, we're a mixture of things. And so, but would you ever vote for the reds or the blues?
Perception of Trump that I'm referring to, Damien, and his followers, like how they view and how these attacks on states. It's completely states that are very poor, are takers, you know, from the federal budget. Their states don't provide as much as they take. You know, castigating cities
know, and then, but the cities are terrible, they're ugly. I've never heard a president denigrate his own nation.
He's normalized the thing, normalization. Treat his stuff as sort of, obviously they've been cut, and their owners threatened, and now their owners are millions of dollars, which how
but nuclear reactor on the moon, where is the water? How are you going to cool this thing? Okay,
yeah. Just so oh my cold god there.
But even to write an article about that, and I'm sure there's been hundreds of them, was completely retarded. But those
working on a book now about been following all of these small. A smaller reactor that was dropped.
Thinking it was like the most desolate, worthless place, right? Then later had what? Oil, then uranium.
Yeah, it's, yeah, anything, it's, yeah, my book Standoff is all about that. Story of colonialism and of colonists and how that drives their decision-making, their planning, and this interpretation of the world, and really in the end to benefit themselves, their own self-interest. They tell themselves stories, and yeah, I mean, definitely Trump has taken the most wealthiest country in the world. He's had a lot of liberties with the economy. He had the economy to withstand his gifts and his insanity, you know, and yet he's the country, you know, driving out, you know, talented people out of this country. Yes, he's destroying, hiring people. And even though he probably a lot of money, probably destroyed, you know, the United States is, and his followers are still going to rewrite history.
I mean, if yes, they went.
I think even if they lose, they won't admit it because they're.
Well, somebody wrote a book called "The Greatest Generation," talking about World War II soldiers, and I said the greatest generation will be the one. This one, I hope, that creates world peace forever.
I totally agree. So yeah, this is once again today. Thank you so much for calling in. And we are talking about the recent conducting. He's taken over the cities. Department of Government Efficiency employee, also known as DOGE. The last caller said there has been questions of whether it's been real or staged. I think, and I believe they were fairly young people, and so this is why Trump is calling for, you know, the criminalization of as young as 14 to be prosecuted as adults. Question is the legality connections to other blue cities. And I'm using that term because that's what Trump is, the places that he's going to, I guess, invade and occupy for to the of his audience, his voters. And then and what you how you feel about what's going on. And of course, this has already been connected to Angela. And then now in D.C., and Trump has said that all in the name of fighting against DEI. I heard a report just recently, some of the was it Princeton? Some of that some of these institutions, their numbers after they're still numbers, despite rulings that won't allow them to do that to regard race or ethnicity in their students. Far right groups are saying, wait, since there's still the same number of people of color coming in, they must be cheating somehow. And it's see the number of black students and other students of color going down at these universities, then we're not going to be satisfied. And so this is why Trump is demanding their numbers. But then, of course, he has actually fired all the staffers at the federal level who would be able to analyze that data. Universities, and because universities are private, they are not subject to FOIA requests, and so it's just very much struck by the fact that they weren't going to be happy with these institutions until the number of students of color went down, and of course that there's all kinds of racist implications in there, that students of color are just not as deserving to be there, not as smart. And but also that that basically they want to see these positions, these places going to whites. Only then would they be satisfied. And I think this very aggressive stance and takeover at many levels, whether it's the universities, whether it's the Supreme Court, whether it is taking over our streets and not obeying due process laws and sending to foreign countries, even in Africa. It's just, it is once again where they're flooding the field, making it difficult to respond or feel like what is the use of responding at all to any of these things. So I think, I would love to hear this. This is Wednesday Talk Radio. This is your chance for KBOO listeners. But how do you feel about in D.C. and Los Angeles, do you feel like this might he might eventually turn his attentions to Portland and impact us? I know that recently, of course, the sanctuary city status of Portland, and the Trump administration has intensified its crackdown on immigration and has targeted Portland due to its sanctuary city policies. And also, of course, the Black Lives Matter protests, which were really covered by the right-wing media as being the sort of terrible thing and not seen as something of standing up for civil rights and a very strong stance, basically the murder of black people by law enforcement. And instead they interpret it in an entirely different way. So Portland has joined a federal judge has issued a preliminary injunction against the withholding of funds and allowing the lawsuit to proceed while protecting Portland's current grants. So the grants are currently being protected. And Portland sanctuary policies generally restrict local resources from being used to assist with federal civil immigration enforcement. And, to go into more of the, I know that, recently Governor Kotek announced a findings that how much money would be taken from Oregon for federal funds. And I don't know if you guys have heard this, but it's actually quite a bit. It's $15 billion. So that would be slashed in federal funding. And this would be federal funding for health care and food assistance and other so this would be under the sweeping spending under Trump to do so. And so this was the preliminary conclusion by Governor Tina Kotek's office. So she asked state agencies to crunch the numbers for what the so-called One Beautiful Bill Act might mean for their ability to provide services. So these are very, very troubling numbers. Kotek's office says that Oregon will lose out on nearly $11.7 billion that currently funds health care through the Oregon Health Plan. So this could affect your health plan as well. And the state's Department of Human Services expects $3 billion to disappear to afford food via the Supplemental Nutrition SNAP. So with tight state tax revenues, this means that these services Monday. And in Congress, aid American children and families become sicker, hungrier, and less prosperous because of President Trump. This is new analysis of that. So this bill, the Big Beautiful Bill, the lone Republican, $15 billion of federal dollars being brought to. Brought to Oregon, brought by Trump. And so $7 billion 2027-2029 budget and $8.4 billion in the 2029-2031 budget. So much impacts, of course, the Oregon Health Plan, our version of Medicaid, and the federal spending bill institutes also new work requirements for nearly 600,000 per expansion set forth in the Affordable Care Act. So this could be their projected coverage loss, significant, between 100,000 and 200,000 due to challenges demonstrating requirements. Qualify every 6 months. Reduce by according to. So that's just an element, going on right now. And so I know that it's, yeah. So once again, this is Wednesday Talk Radio. This is Jacqueline Keeler, your host. City law enforcement there again to another city, and the fact that it was done basically because. And assault on him matter more than everyone else. Suddenly it's an issue, but also the authoritarian approach is pretty concerning, it's that they need him to step in to solve their crime problem because, you know, a white ex. That the rates are at a 30-year low, and that they've managed to that Mayor Bowser with working with many agencies and with the communities themselves. On down, and to less than 600 per person per 100,000 people in D.C. And now in 2024, it was down to 50%. So, so this is, and this is actually the truth across the country. The decline in violent crime. And 2024, studies have shown, and early figures assembled by hundreds of law enforcement agencies around the country suggested also declined this year through May. So homicides did spike in 2023, but they have since fallen to numbers below what they were before then. So we've had this continued decline for the past 30 years of violent crime. And yet, as I mentioned, a recent Gallup poll found that nearly 75% of Americans think crime has risen in the past year. And so So that's quite something. And as I noted earlier, the highest rates of crime are actually in red states, even red rural areas. And but Trump is not going to address those because his concern is basically capitalizing on this issue, even in without any data to support it, in order to put of. May actually pose a threat to him. And so it's and of course these are racial in nature. Has about Trump's DC rhetoric echoes history of racist narratives about urban crime. And so President Trump has taken control of D.C.'s law enforcement and ordered National Guard troops to deploy onto the streets of the nation's capital. One of our callers covering different takes is regarding American Indian communities, which usually in red states, right, like South Dakota, Montana, Arizona. And so I've looked at that data quite closely, and as a previous caller mentioned that, you know, the red state, blue state thing is kind of a fiction. In fact, many of these states are closer to purple, and so the elections are quite close. And so, you know, these acts of gerrymandering and taking people off the voting rolls is quite effective because some of these contests are won by, you know, just a few thousand people, right? And so the urban areas, even in red states, do tend to be blue. And so that's why there is this why a lot of these apparent red states are actually quite purple. But that means that reservation communities, which tend to be blue as well, often become the deciding vote in these elections. And there's been a lot of research done by the National Congress of American Indians showing that that these reservation communities are actually voting, bringing in Democrats into Congress or Republicans who are more aligned with their desires, like Senator Murkowski in Alaska. And they're able to do that because these elections are that close, even in red states. And so that's something to remember. So the that's been used by denunciation populations like Washington progressives. Like Portland has been. Issues like, abortion rights and control. Things that might actually be about, protecting rights at the state level. Then far right legal basically allowing appointing and support and appointed agenda. Of these to take over government. We've seen that many times, even in Germany, that was Hitler was made chancellor by a consortium of large corporations and in Germany. And we see that happening here with the tech bros now standing behind Trump at his inauguration and giving him, I think Bezos gave his wife $40 million to do a... Hello, this is... We're coming to... This is Jacqueline Keeler, Wednesday Talk Radio.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 8:59 a.m.
You're listening to KBOO Portland at 90.7 FM.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. This month's executive committee will be held Thursday, August 14th at 5:30 p.m. Meetings are held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found on the website at kboo.fm. please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.